Okay, so we're going to take a deep dive into this Bell v. Itawamba County School Board case. It's this really interesting clash between what students can say online and how much authority schools have, especially now.
In our crazy digital world, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's like the Wild West out there.
It is. It
So we've
is.
got a bunch of materials here, detailing like what happened in the case, legal arguments, all that jazz. And our mission today is to cut through all the legal mumbo jumbo and try to figure out what this ruling really means for free speech for students,
Especially when
especially what's happening off campus.
off campus, right?
But it still involves the school somehow.
Right?
It really changes how we think about that whole schoolhouse gate idea,
Absolutely.
in the age of the internet.
That's a whole new ball game.
Yeah, totally. So for our listeners who are, navigating this crazy legal landscape themselves, I think the big takeaway here is that even stuff you say outside of school
Can actually lose its First Amendment protection
it's wild.
if it's like intentionally aimed at the school community
Right.
and the school sees it as like genuinely threatening or like disruptive.
And they have to be able to prove that.
It's not just like, oh, I feel threatened. It
Right.
has to be like reasonable.
Reasonable, yeah.
So that's a really significant shift.
Huge shift.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's break this down. Like, what exactly happened in this Bell case?
Okay.
It's about a high school student, right?
Yeah, he was a high school student.
And a rap song.
Rap song, which is already kind of
It
interesting.
sets the stage,
Yeah,
right?
for sure. So what was it about the song specifically that the school and later the court were like, whoa, this is a problem?
So we have Taylor Bell, a senior at Itawamba Agricultural High School in Mississippi,
Okay.
and he created this rap recording and posted it on like YouTube and Facebook.
Gotcha.
The lyrics, they were pretty explicit. They accused two coaches at the school of sexual misconduct,
Right.
and there was some pretty strong imagery in there.
Like violent imagery.
Arguably violent, definitely directed at those coaches.
Okay, so he named names
He named names.
and he wanted people at the school to hear this.
Absolutely. That was the intention.
Okay.
And the school saw this as like harassment, intimidation,
Yeah.
potentially even a threat under their policies.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. So, not exactly subtle.
Not subtle at
What
all.
did the school do?
They took it very seriously. Bell was suspended for 7 days,
Wow.
and then they put him in an alternative school for 6 weeks.
Oh, wow.
And he couldn't go to any school events during that time either.
So, pretty serious consequences.
Yeah, they really came down on him.
Yeah, for something that happened off campus, it's kind of surprising.
And unsurprisingly, this ended up in court.
Of course.
So, can I walk you through the legal journey a little bit?
Yeah, please. I'm lost.
Okay, so Bell and his mother, they sued the school board, claiming that his First Amendment rights had been violated,
Makes sense.
arguing that what he did off campus should be protected.
Right.
But the Northern District of Mississippi, they actually sided with the school board at first, and they based their decision on a previous case called Tinker v. Des Moines.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that one.
It's a big one.
Super important.
So they basically found that Bell's rap caused or could reasonably be predicted to cause a substantial disruption at school.
So that Tinker case is like the key precedent here, right? Can
Absolutely.
you remind us what that was all about?
Okay, so Tinker, that was way back in 1969,
Okay.
and it involved some students who were protesting the Vietnam War
Okay.
by wearing black armbands to school.
Yeah.
And the Supreme Court, they said, hey, students don't just like lose their First Amendment
No.
rights when they walk through this schoolhouse gate,
Right.
but they also established this thing called the substantial disruption test, which basically means that schools can restrict speech if it's going to seriously disrupt the learning environment
Okay.
or if it's like infringing on other people's rights.
Right.
And in the Tinker case, they said the armbands weren't disruptive enough.
Okay.
But the big question in Bell's case is whether that same substantial disruption idea
Yeah.
should even apply to online speech that happens off campus.
That's a good question.
That's a tricky one.
Yeah. So the district court thought the rap crossed the line.
They did.
But I'm guessing the story doesn't end there.
Nope, it does not.
Okay, tell me more.
So Bell, he appealed the decision, and a
Okay.
panel of judges from the Fifth Circuit, they actually reversed the lower court's ruling.
What?
Yeah, they felt that the wrap didn't meet the substantial disruption bar.
Okay.
And that it wasn't reasonably foreseeable that it would cause that kind of disruption.
So that was a win for Bell.
It was a temporary win.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Rap.
So the school board, they weren't happy with that.
Yeah.
And they asked for a rehearing.
En banc.
En banc, right.
En banc. Exactly.
I always forget that word.
It's a mouthful.
It is.
So that means a larger group of judges from the Fifth Circuit heard the case.
Okay.
And they ended up reinstating the original district court ruling.
Oh, wow. So Bell lost.
He did.
Okay, so the en banc court said that the rap was a real threat.
Yeah, they said it posed a reasonable threat to the school environment.
Okay.
And that was enough to justify the school's actions.
So this case really hinges on whether Tinker applies to off-campus speech, right?
Yeah, that's the central question.
And it sounds like the court was saying, yes, it does in some cases.
Right, in certain circumstances.
Yeah, that's the things they were looking at.
Okay, so the majority of the judges, they focused on a couple of key things.
Okay.
First, they looked at whether the speech was, like, intentionally aimed at the school.
Okay.
Like, in Bell's case, he named the coaches, and he wanted the whole school community to hear it.
Right.
So that was a big deal for them.
And then they also looked at whether school officials could reasonably see the speech as threatening or harassing.
Right.
And the violent language in the rap was obviously a big part of that.
So even though it was online and off campus,
right,
the intent and the content made it the school's business.
It pulled it into their jurisdiction. Yeah.
It's like the internet makes the school environment so much bigger than just the actual school building.
Exactly. The digital world doesn't have the same boundaries.
So what about the argument that this was just art?
Yeah.
You know, like it's a rap song.
Right.
Maybe he didn't mean it literally as a threat.
Mm-hmm.
How did the court decide that?
So they didn't really buy that argument.
Okay.
They said that in the context of a school, those violent lyrics, especially since they were directed at specific people,
right,
could reasonably be seen as threatening and not just artistic expression.
Okay.
They emphasized that the school has a responsibility to keep everyone safe.
Students and staff.
Yeah, both students and staff.
So was there a specific threshold they used?
Like the level of violence or something?
Yeah.
I don't think they laid out a super specific test.
Okay.
But one of the judges in the majority, he said, threatening a teacher impedes, if not destroys, the ability to educate.
Whoa, that's pretty strong.
Yeah, and I think the fact that he named the coaches and the nature of the accusations,
yeah,
that all contributed to how the court saw it.
Okay. But it sounds like not everyone agreed.
Oh, no, definitely not. This was a split decision.
Okay. What were the dissenting opinions?
So some of the judges, they thought the majority was taking Tinker way too far.
Interesting.
Like it was meant for on-campus stuff.
Right.
Not for things that happen off school grounds.
Okay.
Judge Dennis, he made a really interesting point.
What was that?
He said that Bell's rap was actually about a matter of public concern.
Oh, yeah. The allegations of sexual misconduct.
Exactly.
That's a good point.
And he argued that because of that, it deserved more First Amendment protection. He thought the majority didn't really consider that context enough.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's a really important point to think about.
Especially for, you know, our listeners who are future lawyers.
Absolutely.
What about the whole substantial disruption idea?
Yeah, how did the dissent see that?
Yeah.
Well, Judge Graves, he argued that there wasn't really enough evidence to say that the rap would actually cause a substantial disruption, you know, since it was off campus.
Okay.
And they were worried that this ruling would make students afraid to speak up.
Even about important issues.
Exactly.
So basically a chilling effect.
Right. A chilling effect on free speech.
Were there any judges who, like, tried to find a middle ground?
Yeah, there were some concurring opinions that added some nuance.
Okay.
Like Judge Costa, he said he understood why Bell writ the rap.
Okay.
You know, criticizing potential misconduct is important.
Right.
But he also agreed that the threatening language went too far. And then Judge Elrod, she specifically said that this ruling shouldn't be used to target off-campus speech about politics or religion.
Right.
You know, stuff that's not threatening.
Okay, so they were trying to narrow the scope.
Yeah, they wanted to clarify the limits of the decision.
It sounds like the judges were really struggling with this.
They were.
Trying to figure out how to apply this old precedent to the internet age.
Exactly. It's a whole new world.
Yeah. So for our listeners, what are the key takeaways from this Bell case?
Okay. So the big thing is that the Fifth Circuit said that Tinker can apply to off-campus speech.
In some cases.
In some cases, yeah.
Right.
It depends on whether the speech is aimed at the school community and whether it seems threatening or harassing to school officials.
Right.
If those things are true, then schools might be able to punish students even for things they say outside of school.
So it's all about the target and the potential impact.
Exactly.
Even online.
Even online.
This is where it gets really interesting, though.
Tell me more.
So this case shows how hard it is for schools to balance students' First Amendment rights.
Yeah.
With the need to keep schools safe and orderly.
It's a tightrope walk for sure.
It is. It's a total tightrope walk.
Yeah.
And the court really focused on whether the speech was directed at the school community and if it could be seen as threatening.
Right.
That's a big deal. So what does this mean for, you know, our listeners?
Oh.
It shows how the internet blurs the lines between on-campus and off-campus behavior.
Right.
And how the law is trying to catch up.
Absolutely.
Sometimes in controversial ways, you know, like we saw with those dissenting opinions.
Yeah, it's definitely an evolving area of the law.
Yeah, and it raises a really important question.
What's that?
In a world where what you do online can have, like, real-world consequences.
Right.
Where do we draw the line between protected student expression and things schools can actually regulate?
That's the million-dollar question.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
It is.
That's something for everyone to think about.
Absolutely. Food for thought.
Yeah. Food for thought.